The following podcast is a live recording of a radio show first broadcast by Fresh FM with assistance from New Zealand On Air.
Good morning, and you're on the Deadline Report with Ben Virginicare of Fresh FM. And this morning's Deadline Report, I'm just going to have a little talk today about the popularity. In fact, I'm probably going to go back to a couple of themes which we all bore very bored of, but the first to begin with is Luigi Mangione, the chap that shot the healthcare CEO. And everywhere I go on Facebook, on social media, there's all reports about what a hero this guy is. And then there are sort of comparisons about how the state has treated, you know, serial killers and mass murderers, and how they've been much more hard on Luigi Mangione. And of course, the fact that, you know, they spent all this effort on him, and yet we still haven't heard anything about Epstein. All these things are true, with the exception of the fact that he's a hero. He's not. He's a killer. He turned around, took a gun, decided to consciously shoot someone in the back who was a father. And it's just, I mean, it's quite incredible to see the same people who have been posting stuff about the tragedy of Christchurch, about how the guy went and shot 51 people and what a terrorist and right-wingers and rah-rah-rah and racist, bigoted, blah-blah, all of which is true. But yet there's one standard held for the right and then another standard held for this guy who's, I don't even know what his politics is. We don't even really know what his motive is at this stage. And yes, I get it. Insurance companies are bad. Bad, bad, bad insurance companies. Corporations, definitely bad. You hear me talking about how bad they are all the time. But the whole point I'm trying to get through to people is that, you know, I mean, I'll put it another way. I've just watched the movie Civil War recently, and it was basically, you know, one of these things, again, sort of illustrating this polarization of the United States of America, which I sit on the fence with, in the sense of I sometimes think movies like that are almost like pre-programmed, you know, in terms of, you know, they start to plant these ideas in the people that, oh, we're in a divided country and this is how bad things are, and which I only bring up because when I was traveling for the United States, I didn't actually find the population to be that particularly polarized at all. I did find pockets of it, I won't deny that, but overall, most Americans I actually met were largely apolitical. But anyway, that was standing. So the movie Civil War makes the point, effectively, that the you know, the evil president is this person who's clearly not a woke president, and you get the feeling that he's sort of Donald Trump-like character. And but the movie ends on a cautionary note, which is the Nietzsche saying, "Be careful of the thing you hate, that you don't become the thing that you hate." And we see that in the end, the president gets gunned down in cold blood. There's no trial, and basically along the way the movie you start to realize that, you know, both sides are actually guilty of atrocities. And this is my thought process again about this hero worshipping of a killer. And I don't condone it. And we've fallen into this really weird, I don't know, I mean, again, we look at the Palestine situation. And that was a word from our co-sponsor, Captain Rooster. The Palestine situation is again, you know, we start off with this situation where most people have been relatively ambivalent to Palestine, and then suddenly the Hamas attack takes place, which was atrocious and hideous, and very, very quickly the situation, however, turns around because of the way that Israel chooses to respond to that violence by meeting it with even more excessive violence. And soon we end up with some Thai people turning around going, "Oh, Israel is terrible," you know. And there seems to be the almost the Hamas aspect gets wiped out. And we almost forgive the Palestinians for carrying out, well, because in fact, let's be careful here, the Palestinians didn't carry out that act. A small selection of extremists carried out that act. And we forget that act has a huge, profound effect upon the people in Israel. Israel is not a very large country. It's surrounded by people that are not particularly friendly towards it. Its paranoia, to a certain degree, is justifiable, which I'm not saying by any stretch of the imagination. What it's doing in Palestine is imaginable. But what I'm trying to get across is violence is just beginning violence. It's just creating a situation, tit for tat, fit for tat. There is no good guys or bad guys. Violence is just violence. The outcome of this situation, though, however, I think is also very interesting, is how it's been culturally appropriated. Well, not so culturally appropriated, it's just been appropriated, full stop. And again, you know, I go up to Blackball and I'm up there and I'm looking at all the history and movement of all the miners in terms of coming together, solidarity, to make sure that they have got proper working conditions, proper wages, and they are met in terms with resistance and basically holding for their solidarity. They largely manage to have a non-violent response, which ultimately wins them through the growth of the Labour Party, assume basically control of government, which then forces our national conservative element to start actually, you know, treating its workers with a certain degree. It has to, it has unions and it has to negotiate with these people, and the outcome overall for the whole country is a win-win situation. In fact, unions, again, you often find, and people forget that, that unions aren't just about putting people out on strike for more money. They're often about creating ways which are more efficient, which ultimately the winner of that is actually the CEO of the company. You know, the unions done properly are a good bloody thing. But what I found in that room up in next to the museum, sort of what we'll call it, the museum next to the formerly Hilton Blackball, was an entire room devoted to, again, the Palestine issue, which Labour's jumped onto. And it's very, very interesting because while they were in power for 12 years, there was money being laundered through New Zealand banks, which Labour must have been aware of, and they chose not to do anything. And I say must have been aware of because it was being covered, what we will sure call the money that, which was linked into Israel arms deals, which was also known as the Azerbaijani laundromat and the Kazakhstan oil cartel, just some of the factions by which money went into using by Israeli arms. There was also the Credit Suisse in Mozambique. UN climate money was ultimately used to buy Israeli weapons, which were washed through the New Zealand real estate market, which again, all these were covered in local news, New Zealand newspapers. Labour did nothing to turn around and stop our banks being misused in that particular fashion. They didn't make any sense against Israel about what was already happening in Palestine before this event, the October event, which sparked the Israeli uplash. It was still a pretty brutal place to be if you're a Palestinian in Israel. Labour did nothing about that. So, and again, this is a Labour government that sat through extremism, and yet they seem to be out of power now, really encouraging this element of our activist community that is extremely militant, and to the point that it's becoming a mirrored version of the same types of people who were throwing stuff at the police in 2020. So we got two, I'll get back to that element in a second, because Labour's not the only one guilty in creating or breeding extremism here. The aspect of what we're looking at is that we are seeing, I mean, I said that room is declared, that room is largely set up by people who have links to the Labour government. They get to decide what the content is. So that's a direct example of Labour really pushing this particular cause over, that's overseas. And it is something that needs to be spoken out against. But my feeling is that it's what we're witnessing here is quite opportunism, and it's quite malicious. And that is, I said, it's adding to a culture of people are getting, being encouraged to take very militant stance. And I'm not talking about linking your arms in a protest. I'm talking about the things where you start to pick up things and throw things at the police. And all that ever does, any type of violence, whether it's Manu Lugiani or Proud Boys in Charlottesville, is any time anybody uses violence, all that happens is the state turns around and gets permission to actually use more violence. And as they've got more bigger wallets and more resources, they're able to do it much more efficiently and nastily, as we see happening in Israel. And what, again, we go back to Gandhi's movement in terms of, and there's two examples of when Gandhi worked and when Gandhi didn't work. In India, he basically unified all the people, turned around and said, we've got to take this non-aggressive approach. And the sheer solidarity of that whole movement basically pushed India into being independence. He tried the same thing in South Africa, but basically excluded the Africans because he believed them to be, you know, not as racially pure. I mean, there was there was a hinky side to people to Ghani that a lot of people don't talk about, but he took that approach. And because they didn't have full unification, the powers that be went, well, you just don't have the leverage. And really, to make real change in society, you need that solidarity. You need it, and you need – the only way you achieve it is really through non-violent practices. The moment you turn around and you start to preach violence or lean towards militancy, you are A, encouraging extremism, but you're also turning off a lot of these – pulling off a lot of would-be supporters. And that – there is not one violent organization around in the world that has actually succeeded in changing government and change it to a government that ends up being beneficial to the people. Not one. I actually did when I was at university and I spent 4 years studying political violence and counterterrorism. And one of the things that we did was a course on basically coup d'etats and revolution, in political science department. And one of the things that struck me about this was that, yes, every time you turn around and you get people put, you allow the militants to move to the top, all that happens is the scum floats to the top, and it ends up being the people end up hurting the worst. And we'll take a little bit of a break right now, and I think we're going to go with Why Can't We Be Friends, because that's what we need today.
Friends.
I said about talk about the right. So we have seen, like, again during the 2020 period, the elements that were freedom, and most of the movement basically wanted to approach it in a non-violent fashion. And our corporate media went out of their way to really basically focus on the very few individuals out there, and there were individuals out there that didn't want to approach that approach, and they tried to make it out like these guys were the norm when they were. And I can tell you, having been up and covered that situation in Wellington, no, they were not. They were not the norm. They were the very, very extreme. And there's the last day was a combination of things which will probably take 100 years to unpack, and I'm not going to speculate. But what I will say is that there were elements within the protest which I, again, am on record of reporting about, and pretty much all the mainstream even acknowledged this, that brought violence to the protest. And they worry me because they have a lot of money. They have been very active post-2020. They have moved into elements of mainstream politics. They are still there. They got money that goes straight back to organised crime rackets. And further than that, they go straight back to the mining companies. And I feel, again, that what I've been experiencing a lot of the time is that the people that are actually encouraging violence, when you follow the money trail back further enough, it goes back to people that, you know what, they want you to be violent. Because as soon as you turn around to be violent, you give the state permission to increase their budget for how many, for the army, for the spies, for the cameras, for the guns. It's a really dumb move. Violence does never achieve anything in politics. So the idea that we're suddenly making a martyr out of this guy, Luigi Mangione, that's a red light right there. And it's going to be something that's going to be used by the state to justify their actions. In America, which one of my pet peeves is that we seem to be really good in New Zealand. Anything that happens, any movement happens overseas, bang, we start being caring a damn about it too. You know, so we really, you know, America's issues shouldn't be our issues, but somehow they become our issues. In America, you know, what they really need is they need the birth of basically people understanding that proper socialism isn't about anarchist bombers and people wanting to take over the world. It's about bringing people together in unity and solidarity. And that's what workers will need, you know, that's the only way that things improve for workers. In New Zealand, we need to remember that, and we need to really push away. I mean, like, again, what we're seeing is we're seeing a Labour Party jumping on encouraging the Palestine movement. Meanwhile, the same Labour government, when they were in power, got warned twice that Rocket Lab was undermining New Zealand's nuclear-free status and laws. The Labour Party. You know, 1987, French come in here, blow up the Rainbow Warrior. That single action is enough for all of New Zealand to go, bugger that, no to nuclear weapons. We all link arms, bang, nuclear weapons become a, we don't do that in New Zealand. Up until 2015, then basically we start to get a visit of a US warship. The events in Christchurch make us actually forget this. Rocket Lab suddenly sets up in the north. Then all the way through the Labour administration, they build in more and more. It turns out more and more of the payloads of the weapons are actually about dragging us straight back into the US and their nuclear weapons, Cold War, mutual assured destruction game, which I thought we'd all got rid of in the 80s. And largely, New Zealand played a big, important part of that. But no, the Labour Party, you don't see a no to nuclear weapons in the black ball. What you're seeing is, oh, this big, isn't it terrible? What's happening in Palestine? Yeah, and again, it is terrible what's happening in Palestine, but it's interesting that we have a Labour Party that's not focusing on the things that are happening in New Zealand. That same Labour Party, while they're out of power, isn't talking about, hey, we've really got to actually say no to Rocket Lab. We've got to say yes to actually money being spent on hospitals, which meanwhile in Dunedin's probably not going to get their hospital. We really need to say yes on making sure that workers' rights are protected, because they're currently being undone as well. You know, we need a Labour Party that is going to basically, and the Green Party, that's going to promote New Zealand causes and not get sucked into things that create polarisation politics, which ultimately end up serving the state. And it feels like to me that both our Labour and National Party are actually in many ways working very much in lockstep with each other. One gets out, the other one does the policies that ultimately serve the advantage, while the other one basically doesn't actually challenge them. There hasn't been any real challenge from the Labour government on any of the mining proposals. It's been minute. Same with the Māori Party. I mean, they're talking about the Treaty Waitangi, but they're not actually challenging the oil and mining in any deliberate way. And these are the guys that I see funding both sides of the coin. And what we see when that's happening is, oh, lo and behold, we're starting to get these extremist pockets turning up in both the left and the right. And they're actually not actually linking us together to focus on solidarity on the causes that we need. They're getting us actually scrapping about things that are happening overseas. Violence begets violence. What makes me last think towards someone says, you know, I'm not Palestine people. What's happening to the people in Palestine is not right. And yes, we do want to see spokesman people speaking out against it. But you know what? I still would have been felt a lot more comfortable if I had seen Labour and the Greens making this move when they were in power and when they could have actually done something. What I'm seeing throughout the world, again, is in, you know, Mexico, and I've spoken about this beforehand, which we've got a progressive liberal, a supposedly progressive liberal government happening in, you know, in Mexico. And what they again, you see the situation where suddenly the Palestine movement has been sprayed freshly over causes of Mexico, which the Mexican probably are more dear to the Mexican people than what's happening in Palestine. And yet what we also see is that that same government, progressive liberal government, is giving more power to the military and they're giving more power to the judiciary in a way that ultimately serves both the conservative elements. And the end result of what we're seeing happening in America, in Mexico at the moment, is that the violence is actually returning to Mexico at the moment. So while everyone's going on about these Palestine issues, no one's talking about this slow burn of, but very becoming increasingly apparently, that the cartels are returning to the extreme violence is returning to the cartels in Mexico, and it's sadly probably going to get worse. And again, that I can see that excuse and the that violence being used in turn by the American administration to actually do a crackdown where they actually turn around and take control of significant parts of Mexico, which will give them, you know, access to things like water. And also, I mean, we see that the US government is now talking about going down to Panama. I think, for me, that the Mexican government or the progressive liberal government have probably got things on the issues which they probably need their people to be talking about now, but they're not. There's a misdirection taking place. And more significantly, I think what really is missing from all this equation, in fact, it's the opposite, because the elements that are spearheading in the progressive element, the Palestinian movements, that when we talk about the United States, it's elements like Antifa and Portugal and Portland, and these are the elements that have shown in the past the more extreme militant behavior than other Antifa chapters. These are also the chapters which have been accused of before in the past of agent provocateur tactics. And my feeling is that as we're leaning again into this movement, is that it's been led by more militant elements, and their solutions are not positive construction ones. What we're not getting led by here in New Zealand is actually, where is the part of the Labour Party that's into peace and saying, well, actually, what we really need to be talking about is getting rid of nuclear weapons? They're nowhere to be heard. And this element, Palestinian element, they're not saying, oh, we denounce violence. We absolutely, 100%, absolutely make sure that, you know, we don't meet fire with fire. You know, we realize that Gandhi, Nelson Mandela, Martin Luther King, these are the guys that were giving us the answers and the solutions. Again, we look at Martin Luther King, the assassination of Martin Luther King, saw an extreme rise within the Black Panther movement, and again, elements within the Black Panther movement that at that time were linked to MK Chaos and MK Ultra, which was basically the use of agent provocateurs. And again, this is all starting to come out now. And again, it's been mentioned in relation to what was happening with Charles Manson, which was, the Charles Manson aspect is perfect, because that was about creating helter-skelter. If we could get groups over on the left and get groups on the right, and they're all running around absolutely doing extreme violent situation, then the whole thing would actually turn, that was Manson's idea, was an extreme race war by being, you know, provoking both sides. And this is what I basically see. As I'm saying, I'm seeing on the left and the right, these elements are rising up and they're talking about things which are going to meetings where there's people talking about digging up roads and knocking in, and not constructive, aggressive resistance, because there is a time and place for that. This is about basically wanton destruction. And at this stage, it's only talk. But I have that can quickly escalate. And more importantly, once upon a time, that sort of talk was talked about before, and it would be slapped down. My worry is that we're now reaving into a culture where we are ultimately violence is a lack of empathy. And I think once you wander into that realm, it's not a good place to be. I'm going to go. It's been a bit of a rant. I know you've been very kind to me today, but I just really kind of want to put something on the record today about the fact that I will never, you will never find this chapter, this production, promoting or supporting violence in any way, shape or form, because I know it doesn't work. And I think anybody, actually, the song I'm going to go out today is, I'm going to go out with The Beatles, Revolution. This is Ben Vigen on the Deadline Report.
Evolution, well, you know, we all want to change the world. But when you talk about destruction, don't you know that you can count me out? Don't you know it's gonna be alright? Alright. Right. You say you got a real solution. Well, you know, we'd all love to see the plan. You ask me for a contribution. Well, you know, we all do. But if you want money for people with minds that hate, all I can tell you is, brother, you have to wait. You know it's gonna be alright. 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 Free your mind instead. But if you go carrying pictures of Chairman Mao, you ain't gonna make it with anyone anyhow. Don't you know it's gonna be alright. Alright. Alright.
The podcast you just listened to was a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast on Fresh FM, with support from New Zealand On Air. Fresh FM is a community access media station based in Te Tauihu, the top of the South Island, New Zealand. The funding of Access Media makes these podcasts possible. To find similar programs by other community access media stations, go online to accessmedia.nz. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, freshfm.net, for our contact details.